Good day, boys and girls. A rather dizzy and messed up Fish and Frank here. Actually, I can't say that. I'm actually feeling pretty good. Back up to the Silverstein Institute after being out of work for like 12 days.
Which would be great if you were actually on vacation.
Yeah, I've never missed work from being hurt, sick, anything for 12 days of my life.
No.
I mean, I've taken a vacation or something like that, but I've never been out of work because I could not get up and go to work. It just makes me nuts.
I bet you were stir crazy.
Thank God I had my bass guitar. You know, picked up my bass guitar a couple years ago and started playing again. And without that, I literally would have been climbing the walls. It was just, oh my God, horrific. My heart goes out to anybody who's on disability or anything like that, that, you know, you don't realize what these people actually have to go through being limited as to where they can go and what they can do. It's just, you know, it's something I don't ever need to experience any more of. And, you know, with the state of everything, there's obviously cannot afford health insurance. So, you know, kind of on my own with that. But I'm making it. Everything's doing pretty good. We're getting better. We're trying to get the schedules worked out. We have a 4-show-a-week schedule, hopefully 5, but we're definitely going to try for 4 shows a week. Had no idea I was getting sick. We had all this plan that everything was going to happen in November or in October, and that this was all going to come in, and then, you know, we were looking forward to November, and everything was going to be great, and then I fell apart. I am training Andrew on how to run the equipment. So if this happens again, Andrew should be able to sit in, run all the equipment, keep you guys on the air, because it's just been too crazy. We're on for a little while, then I get sick, and we're off. So Captain Andrew Merriman is the one who's actually right now learning all the equipment to get this figured out, so we won't have this happen. He'll be able to do the place-by-place report and radio fishing for us. Just never thought I'd need plan B, but the last year I kept thinking I'm going to get better, everything's going to work out, I'm going to be back to being strong and well, and it's not working out that way. I'm very, very lucky. No, I get the annoying stuff, you know. I got type 2 diabetes, big deal, you know, limit the sugar, and, you know, don't eat a lot of bread, don't eat sugar, you know, that kind of thing. And then I get this, but nobody said I've got a deadly disease. Nobody said that, you know, something terrible is going to happen. The worst thing is I sit home and play my bass guitar, you know. So, you know, I can't really complain about that. I did not get the worst prognosis in the world. So
that's a blessing.
Yeah, I mean, it truly is. I get a ton of annoying stuff, okay? I'm fine all day, then I get dizzy and I'm sick. And it's kind of like getting off a tilt-a-whirl and having food poisoning at the same time. You know, it's really kind of interesting. But anyway, that's enough about that. We're going to take off with the fishing report here. The Peace River Systems is where we're going to start. And that's everything from I-75 up the river. Anybody got any? Oh, by the way, this is Fish and Frank. Yes, I'm back. As they say, yes, Virginia, there is a Fish and Frank. And that's me. And Robert's in the chair across from me. And we have Captain Billy Barton here with us on the Fishing Report.
Hi, guys. Today.
Okay, so we're talking about stuff from I-75 north.
You got your dates fixed?
Yeah. Okay. 11/8/16. That's okay. Today, right?
Yep, just checking.
The electional day.
Yay.
Yay.
Let's go back to the river.
Yeah.
Let's go back to other fish.
Well, unless you want me to talk politics, somebody better come up with something about the Peace River system.
Well, like you were talking about earlier, the Peace River is finally down to less than 2 foot, or right
just
at two.
A little over
2 foot.
2.25 feet.
So we've got no river flow really directly affecting us.
We still have water coming down the river,
right?
But not like when it was 10.5 feet.
Right.
We've got about 0.5 foot, 6 inches of water still coming down the river. I don't remember what the cubic feet a second was, but it's
minimal.
This is a kind of critical need to know information, guys. It's like being attacked on Tremors 2 when the worms mutated into those bird things. You know, if you don't know what you're up against, you don't bring the right guns.
Right.
Well, what this does is give you the information that the harbor's going to clear up. The water's going to start getting clearer.
Yeah. It already has. I mean, it was it's amazing. It was amazing to me this week. I picked up in Lashley Marina Basin, and you go in that basin, and it is constantly, I mean, the muddiest, you know, it's a nasty, muddy marina basin, you know. But
oh, yeah, it's right at there's 104 or 140 miles of river all dumping out right there.
Yes, sir.
All the silt, all the garbage, everything that 100 and some miles of river picks up all ends up right there.
Yeah.
So, no, you're right on the money, Billy. Lashley Marina can be a horribly dirty, nasty place. I mean, you're talking everything from garbage to just basic silt and muck and mud. But the brown color comes from Robert...
Tannins. Oak trees, pine needles, and mangroves.
Decaying.
It's the acid that's already natural in the leaves as they decay.
What I think is funny is the other place that has this brown water phenomenon that really affects everything is Canada.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, you've got this middle section. You come all the way down here, and we have tannic water, which is brown and kind of funky looking. And then you've got to go to Canada to find it again. I mean, there are spots here throughout the U.S. where you get it. But, I mean, us in Canada, and it just stands to reason. I think the Canadians actually brought it with them. I'm going right full on and say, I think that there was a Canadian conspiracy to make our brown water look like their brown water. When they came on vacation, they wanted to see it, to have a reminder of home. This is a conspiracy the Canadians are
at
pulling on South
Florida.
At
least they didn't bring the snow.
Well, that's okay.
At least they didn't bring the snow.
Yeah, agreed.
I'll deal with the brown water. I don't want to deal with the cold.
You gotta love the Canadians. Oh, don't you know, hey, great people, hey.
Yeah, all right, exactly.
Yeah, they really are some nice people.
Yes, they are.
All right. Peter, what's going on fish up there?
Shell Creek's starting to get some snook moving in there pretty good. Most of them are still the peanut, you know, undersized snook. But there's been a handful of guys catching a couple legal fish, especially if they're trolling. And then I've heard of a couple of small redfish up there, too. Other than that, the entire Peace River, it's just every day I'm getting mixed reports, but mostly it's small redfish, small snook, few mangrove snapper. But each day, I'm getting more than one person telling me about it getting better. So we are on that kind of upswing, so to speak, and like talking about the clarity of the water up there.
It's a migration.
Yeah, well, the fish move up there as the water temperatures cool down. Salinity is going up, but every day it's getting clearer. I mean, at an alarming rate. I mean, 3 weeks ago, you couldn't see 6 inches in the water up there in Harbor Heights, let alone down here behind my house right here off of Edgewater. 6 inches of visibility. Now I've got probably about 3 feet of visibility, which is pretty impressive.
Yep.
So, we are seeing a better number of fish there.
All right. Continuing our trek down the river, what's going on at 41, down by the 41 bridge, whether you're at Power Pole Park or if you're just on a boat by the bumpers, anything going around 41?
Well, I was going to bring up 75 bridge when...
All right. What's going on 75?
You know, I mean, they kind of go hand in hand. They're pretty much... right in the same neck of the woods.
No, we were just there. I can go back up.
Okay.
Go ahead.
This is my favorite time of the year to fish around 75 Bridge. You know, that's kind of like a middle point. The fish are on their way up the river, just like the 41 Bridge.
So
it's a center point.
Is there anything happening at 75?
Yes.
Or does it just make you happy to go
big
there?
Big snook.
Okay.
Yes, big snook. There's the big snooker at 75 Bridge. There's tarpon at 75 Bridge. There's redfish.
Are they more juvenile tarpon or sub-adult fish?
They're mixed. There's more juveniles than anything.
Okay.
You know, there's more fish in the 15-20 pound range, you know, to 40. And then you have some fish that are just giants mixed in, which is kind of typical for your rivers.
For your typical bridge fish, yeah.
Yeah, you know. But, the redfish are all around, I mean, all over the place up there right now. I have a guide buddy that guided up there for years, And, you know, I don't fish up there as much as he does, but I know he has been very productive up there.
Right. You know, not any what he's using?
Live pinfish, and they're living. He mentioned that his shrimp had died up there, that he brought live shrimp up there, but they died. But he's bringing scaled sardines and pinfish all the way up. I know he fishes all the way up to Harbor Heights Park, you know. So I'm sure he's timing out his tides right. You know,
I'm sure
not going in there at the end of an outgoing tide is a good example. You know, you want to go in there at the end of an incoming tide where your salinity is up the most. But
right,
you know,
plus it's been out of the wind too up there. So
all right, well let's fall down to 41. What's going on in 41?
41 Bridge, the like early morning bite from like 3 o'clock in the morning until just after sunrise has been pretty impressive for the guys that are throwing artificials, the paddle tails, like the DOA shad tails.
Spool techs
have been working real well if you can get them.
Yep.
They've been catching a lot of little snook and some oversized snook and some juvenile tarpon. But lately, for the past week or so, right at sunrise until sometimes middle of the day, there's been a flush of glass minnows moving in and out of there, and some other small fry, small threadies, and mixed bait.
Big jacks.
The jacks are schooling up there, and they've been running between both bridges.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You know, they're just, you got to look for them. They're pretty good wad of big jacks there.
Yeah. They're horses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Been a few black drum.
Yeah.
Not a ton, but good, interesting bycatch.
You see them tailing.
I've heard of a couple guys getting whiting and a few small trout. No real legal size ones, but just a few. So it is in that transition period still, again, kind of like the river. Every day is getting a little bit better.
All right. Now, how would you characterize Lashley Pier over on the Punta Gorda side?
Honestly, the day fishing has been pretty lousy there, but a lot of snook there at night, all the way up until sunrise from what I've been hearing.
Yeah.
I mean,
anything, Billy, anything going on?
I don't have. I've never had too much confidence there during the daytime. You know, it gets an influx of pressure. You go out there in the middle of the night when there's less people, and the fish, I think, especially the snook, you know, they react better, you know, come to the lights too.
Yeah, it's just too early yet for the trout and the whiting to be in there consistently yet.
Well, let's go across over to Port Charlotte to Bayshore Pier. Anybody heard anything on Bayshore?
Been a little quiet from what I've been hearing. I've heard of a couple snook there at night, but the day fishing, not a whole lot has been happening that I've been hearing about.
Tarpon, the bridge tarpon, you know, during the daytime, a lot of the bridge tarpon on the higher traffic days will push out onto that Bayshore flat. And recently, in the last couple of weeks, I've seen tarpon schools on ladyfish schools. I've seen tarpon on ladyfish schools out in front of Bayshore.
Okay. You know?
And, you know, those fish are all on the move. Obviously, they're not going to stay put for a long period of time, but
just got to catch them at the right moment.
Yep. But they were there and they were eating. We jumped two one morning on ladyfish. The ladyfish are small.
That I've been hearing. The ladyfish have been real small.
Perfect bait size.
Exactly, which is fun.
Yeah.
You know, they're running like 10 to 12 inches, most of them, with an occasional 14-incher.
Yep, and honestly, you know, I was fishing. I had live bait in the boat, and I was noticing my customers, they kept missing ladyfish, which is common. You know, ladyfish hit quick, and they spit the hook real easy. Well, I had a bare jig head on a rod, and I whipped one out there real quick, just a bare jig head, nothing on it, and within seconds, I had a ladyfish hooked up. And I mean, literally within a matter of 5 minutes, we had a dozen good, perfect ladyfish in the well, and it was all caught. They were all caught on one bare jig head. And, you know, the thing is, you know, we weren't matching the hatch with a sardine on the hook, a greenback or a white bait, you know. That bare jig head, it was a lot more like what they were feeding on. You know, they're tearing up glass minnows and...
All right, let's go from Bayshore over around to the canal system in Port Charlotte. From the spillways over to Port Charlotte Beach, you know, that whole area and just the Port Charlotte Canal system in general, anything going on over there?
The snooker's starting to move in there pretty good, getting a lot of reports of guys who are actually listening to us and actually trolling as they're coming in or going out from their homes are picking up, mostly on the smaller side snook, you know, 24 to 26 inch fish with a few bigger fish. The jacks have been moving through sporadically off and on all day long. And then mainly out along the mouth there in that whole Alligator Bay, Port Charlotte Beach area, there's been some tarpon moving in and out, mostly juveniles. Getting a couple reports of some oddball, bigger size, but not good numbers of mangrove snapper.
On the docks.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's just, it's not gangbusters, but it's definitely worth, if you hit a fish, stick around the area, fish it a little bit, kind of thorough, little more thoroughly, and then see what happens, move to the next dock or a little further down the canal system.
Okay.
Those are the docks on, I mean, my best look for the mangrove snapper have been on the docks that run on that outside stretch of all the canals from Grassy Point to Bayshore. You know, there's a, you know, there's just several marked channels that'll lead you into that, those canal systems.
Right.
And on the outside seawall is where all those docks, you know, the longer docks.
The harbor are. Side ones.
Yes, sir.
There you go. So that's not bad.
All right. Let's see. Elder Bean Pier.
Elder Bean's actually starting to pick up finally. It's a little bit more steady, especially at night. The snook activity is getting better. Hearing of some more legal fish being caught off of there. Most of the guys are catching them on the big storm swim baits, like the 6-inch ones. The spool techs, if you can get them on those bigger 6-inch ones also. But the daytime fishing, I'm starting to get a few more mixed reports of mangrove snapper, a few sheep's head. And the sheep's head doesn't mean they're there yet. These are just resident fish that are just starting to kind of ball up a little bit more and getting excited and waiting for the cooler weather.
They're eating, though. They're
still, oh, yeah. You know, no, they're
fish have got to eat.
Yep.
What people always forget, they say, you know, it's like freshwater crappie. Crappie are here all year. They don't just, you know, come through a rift in the time-space, tear in the time-space continuum and magically appear.
A black hole.
Yeah. They don't come through a portal from another dimension. They're here all year. But when they go to spawn, you know, for those of you who are my age, try to think high school. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And, you know, so you run around all day and you do all these things. And then you went to a burger joint and you ate. But, you know, you ate a lot more during the day. I mean, you know, I can remember going when the Whoppers first came out, when they were actually a Whopper. I mean, literally bigger than your hand, and being able to eat 2-3 of them and never gain an ounce because I was running around so much. Mm-hmm. The same thing happens during the spawning season. There's so much activity, there's so much competition that the sheephead get much more active, feed much more aggressively, and actually just a lot more. The more calories you burn, the more calories you have to take in. That one swimmer, Phelps, I think they said he ate like 12 or 14,000 calories a day.
Something ridiculous like that.
It was, and for us normal people, you eat more than 2,000 calories a day, you start gaining a lot of weight. But not if you're burning it off. And the same thing happened to the fish. So right now they're there. They're going to eat all year. They're going to hang out. But more will come. There'll be a lot more fish once the weather cools down because the spawn will start happening. And they're going to be burning more calories, more competition for mates and making babies and all this other kind of stuff. It's going to lead to more eating.
Mm-hmm.
The more calories you burn, the more calories you got to eat.
Simple. Absolutely.
All right. So anyway, a few sheephead, Elder Bean. Anything, Billy? Anything, Elder Bean?
I mean, I haven't been putting a lot of time in over there, to be honest with you. But my favorite time of year when I used to fish there all the time was always this time of year. You know, I mean, this was always the start, you know, and I was more of, you know, the catch and release snook fisherman, and I would go there at night for snook in particular and juvenile tarpon and spend all night throwing artificials. And my favorite time of year was, you know, I like when snook season closes and that place gets quieter because all your snook hunters for the meat are not there, and for the sport fishing it really picks up because the fish relax.
All right. Know? Well, let's look at the rest of that area here, the Mica Cutoff, Cattle Dock Point, Tippy Canoe Bay, the 14-foot hole. What's going on in that area, those areas?
You know, I mean, Tippy Canoe, this is a great time of year in the front, you know, Frenham, Tippy Canoe, Mayaca Cutoff, Hog Island, that area in general, that's an area that I can say firsthand that will produce a lot of redfish in the fall. You know, typically it's shrimp on a higher tide along the bushes, you know, whenever you can catch that window of a higher tide. You have a few cuts that'll produce redfish on lower tides.
Been a lot of snook starting to move up inside there too. Had a couple mixed reports of some pompano with some small trout on the outside of the north entrance of the cutoff. So a good mixed variety, and the mullet are all leaving all of the canals right now, getting ready to row. If you've missed any of the mullet boys out there that are running all over the flats chasing after them, so it's starting to get some pretty good activity all around, like Billy was saying, that whole Tippy Canoe, Mayaca Cutoff, it's all starting to really turn on good.
Big trout out in the mouth of Tippy Canoe in the hole, you know, when
it's been mixed, though. Most of them have been on the smaller side.
I got you.
Anything out in the river itself?
Ghost town, crickets. It's been weird. There's been some glass minnows moving through there, but I've only heard of two Spanish mackerel in the last 2 weeks out there.
What's up?
65 years old. Still need a snook permit?
No. No license, no stamp. It's all covered.
Just need
the stamp. Nope.
No, if you're 65 years old, you can... Captain Kale came in with a license question. He is able to go to management areas. He can go shoot at Ding Darling or hunt at Ding Darling, fish at Ding Darling.
Basically, if there's no license, you have no stamp Cecil to put Webb, it on.
You know, once they're 65, they become Daniel Boone. They can hunt, fish, trap. They can do
as
all
a resident.
That stuff.
He turned
into an Indian. Yeah, you know, so... Yeah, no, all that's legal for him. Everything's covered.
Okay.
As long as you're a resident.
As long as you're a resident of Florida. Turning 65 and being a resident of Ohio or Michigan or Minnesota or whatever.
Might help you there, but
Georgia,
not here.
Yeah. Every state has its own rules, but it's only for the people residing in that state. And the one thing people get confused about is the difference between their toys and them. A house is just another toy. If you have a house here and you have a house in Indiana, it's just houses. They're toys. They're just something you have. Where you are registered. That's what they count. You, not your stuff. You. I mean, that'd be like saying I left my clothes in Florida, so I should be a resident. That
right.
Doesn't have anything to do with it. So it doesn't matter where you have your houses.
It's where frankly, you claim your primary residency.
You know, I haven't seen him in this year. The German guy who always comes in.
He's moving. He's moving back.
He's moving back.
He's staying there. He put his house up for sale and sold his boat.
Oh, man.
If I'm thinking of the same guy.
Had that real kind of...
Drove a motorcycle every now and then?
Probably. Great guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he had that big company in Germany. And
tool company?
Yeah, the
tooling.
Tool company. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's
amazing,
moving back.
Amazing guy. That's sad. We need more immigrants like... Yeah, like that one. He's a cool guy.
Right.
Anyway, where was I?
Fishing license.
Yeah, with the fishing license. We know people from England and Germany and that who literally own complexes here that still have to pay for a non-resident fishing license. And I mean, not only do they own a house, they own multiple, you know, stores and businesses and stuff. But they haven't got their residency here and their citizenship, so they pay non-resident licenses.
Yep.
So a house doesn't do it. That's a toy. All right, back to this. Anybody heard any word from South Gulf Cove out of the canals?
A couple guys have been catching a couple fish as they're trolling out of there, but it's been really quiet. I haven't even had any bass fishermen in there in the last couple days. Most of them have been fishing Rotunda for the bass, but the actual Gulf Cove, South Gulf Cove area... Nothing. It's pretty weird.
I have a customer staying in there, called me last night, sent me a picture. He's staying up there, just renting a house for a couple weeks in Gulf Cove. And he said he's got snook all over his light, and he caught a small tarpon in his backyard. I,
Right.
You know, so.
That's a good report.
It's a good report.
More than what I've been hearing. I mean, I had a guy in here tell me that he's starting to see a snook light back in there now, so he's excited about it, but yeah. Nobody's been fishing it hard that I've heard. So it's good. That's why you're here.
I agree. I'm not hearing much about it, though, either. You know, I'm really not hearing too much. So.
But it's a fun place to fish, you know, especially right there at Cattle Dock Point. That can be super, super productive at times. So I love to fish that pretty hard when I'm going in or out of there. But you just never know how gangbusters it's going to be.
All right, well, let's look down the west wall. We've got the west wall and all the little creeks and everything can go through there. Anything going on the west side of the harbor?
That's getting better and better each day. The problem is that it's been so windy out of the east that it's pretty lumpy over on that side, or the water's very dirty, silty. So guys have been kind of avoiding it, but the ones who haven't been avoiding it are picking up a lot of snook and redfish along the shoreline, literally from Trout Creek all the way down to
picking Cape up a Pacer. Lot of what?
Snook and redfish.
Oh, okay. One of the side effects of what happened to me is I've lost almost all the hearing in one ear, and the other ear's gotten worse. So... Mm-hmm.
Not good.
Yeah, well, hey, you're going blind, I'm going deaf. We always said we were going to
Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder.
Yeah, we always said we were going to end up this way. You know, I'm going to tell you what it looks like, and you're going to tell me. You know, you're going to tell me what they said.
Perfect.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Frank, it was this he said. You know. So that's just the way we were always going to end up anyway.
It's all good. But the snook and redfish all on that whole shoreline, whether it's in the creeks or just underneath the bushes, has been the most productive. And most of the guys are doing their best with pinfish right now over on that side. Shrimp are kind of your secondary, but a very close second place. And even artificials have been working pretty good on those guys. A lot of guys have been buying the...
paddle tails.
The paddle tails and the little Johns, that little jerk bait looking thing, mm-hmm. and doing fairly well on them. I haven't heard much of a topwater bite or anything like that, but the activity is picking up more and more each day.
All right, well, let's go down Cape Hayes, anywhere in that area. What's going on?
That area is typically, it's just that time of year for that area. It's covered with fish too. I just classify it with the west wall in general. You know, that's where all the fish are coming from, moving up the harbor. You know, they're all coming from Turtle and Bull Bay. A lot of those fish are coming around the corner at Cape Hayes.
That's a strategic pinch point for a lot of your fish as they're migrating into the harbor, which makes it cool.
Yeah.
But the actual, like, say the what I would consider the Boca Grande side of Cape Hayes, where it drops off fairly well. If you can catch that on an incoming tide, guys have been getting some pompano, a few oddball flounder.
Bull redfish.
Some big redfish, like 40, 45-inch redfish. And they're not in schools. They're in loose groups, you know, 2 to 6 fish at a time coming through. And if you see a school of mullet come through, you better have a bait casted out behind them because those bull reds are right on their tails.
Mm-hmm.
Even been getting a few ladyfish and some Spanish mackerel with some guys that have been kind of slowly trolling that whole front deeper edge. The trout have been more on the smaller side there, a lot of them, but with a handful of legal ones, but mostly smaller.
If you move off of those small ones, though, there are good trout out there. They are.
Yeah. You just got to cover some territory for them.
Yep. That's exactly right.
Let's just swing into Turtle Bay and right over to Bull Bay. What's going on Turtle Bull? Are one better than the other?
I think they're both kind of about equal right now. It seems like I'm getting more reports on trout and redfish and turtle and more snook and redfish and bull. Am I correct with that?
I think they're just... I mean, I classify them as the same bay. You know, I mean, they're both full of oysters, you know, they're both full of islands and creeks, and you know, they're both so similar. There's more shacks in one and a few houseboats, but you know, I classify them as the same bay. I catch mixed bag every time I hit bull, and a mixed bag every time I
okay what's you know, a mixed bag
to me is snook, redfish, and trout. you know, and then those are your three primary targeted species when you're fishing on the flats, especially this time of year.
And one thing I used to catch a lot of in there was giant ladyfish and small grouper.
Yep.
I would catch a lot of those, much more so in bull bait than turtle bait. I don't know why that is, but giant ladyfish, I mean, we're talking 28-inch, you know, ladyfish, grouper in the two-pound range, pound, two-pounders. But I would catch a lot of that kind of stuff fishing bull bay.
In the mouth?
No, back up in the bay.
In the bay.
Yeah, and it just was always something, maybe the style I used to fish kind of blended it to that. But turtle bay, puffers, trout, redfish, and snook. But I've always been able to find in the open parts of the bay. I always thought turtle bay was the better on the trout. I've never done as well on numbers of trout in the middle. Although one of the best trout fishing days I ever had was in the back. You know, when you come in front of Turtle Bull Bay by the shack, and then you kind of veer out and heading onto the tailing flats up north. That back entrance, that. I sitting right there one day as the tide was going out. It was getting just, you could almost watch the water falling. There was more trout there than any place I'd ever been any other time, any other day.
Is that an area, that's the area that's so up and down. There's little sand hills all over the place and deep pockets. I mean, just.
That entrance right there is actually pretty flat.
It's
just grass and flat. What you're talking about, I think, is just inside, more just around that corner, because it does dip a lot. Now, I could be wrong. It's been, I don't even want to remember how long it's been since I've really fished that area, but what you're talking about is great fishing, but this just happened to be that one spectacular day that Robert's heard me talk about it many times. In one cast, we were trying not to catch a fish, and I had like 14 to 16 hits on the lure and not letting them take it. I was throwing a topwater.
That's awesome.
Just in one cast to try and see how many times you get a fish to hit at the lure and not allow them to take it. And it was like 14 to 16 on one cast.
Wow.
So it was just pretty amazing. But outside of that, I've always done way better on the trout over in Turtle Bay. And maybe it's just my thinking. You know, sometimes you get in kind of habits, thought patterns, that this is where I do this and this is where I do that. And it could have been my fault, because not thinking of doing the trout there, I probably just wasn't fishing for them.
You weren't focused on
it. I wasn't trying to do it, so it didn't really happen.
That makes sense.
It could have, it was probably just my fault. Anything else going on, Bull Bay, Turtle Bay?
There's just a lot of fish moving in and out of there, so it's worth really, really working hard.
All right, well, let's swing right outside to Cape Hayes Reef. One of our forgotten reefs is kind of getting silted in. It would have been nice if when they spent all that money to put all them pipes down there, they would have had a couple of divers there to, you know, link and log the culvert pipes into stacks, knowing the amount of silt that comes around that corner. They could have, you know, built them up into Lincoln log type things. There's plenty of depth. They only needed a 12-foot clearance. So they're in 20-some feet of water. They could have made 8-foot stacks out of this stuff.
Absolutely.
Instead of just pushing them over and letting them lay on the bottom. Now, they are hollow pipes, but once they get filled in, they're filled in. It would have been cool to be able to do that. It'd be nice to be able to take a barge with a crane on it, go out there, hook some of them up, and just start stacking them. You know, I'll volunteer my time. If we can get a barge and with a small rig on it, because a cover pipe's very heavy, but not very heavy underwater. We could literally go out there in a matter of a couple of days and reset those pipes to a better, more fish-friendly configuration.
Yeah, you know, and. That reef, it doesn't stick out.
Any fish out there?
I don't fish it as much as I used to.
So you're out. Robert, any fish out there?
Mangrove snapper is starting to pile on it a little bit better.
The sheep's head show up there first.
I just haven't heard much for sheep's head yet. but the snapper been moving on it? I mean, have you heard some sheep's head moving on it?
I would say as soon as we get our first cold front or two, that, you know, that
it's already here, Bill.
Yeah,
it's already here.
They're.
I have to wake up in the morning. I feel like Granny. I go outside at my caffeine and nicotine and sitting on the porch, and then I go back in, I grab something off the couch and wrap it around my shoulders and I go huddle outside, you know.
So, you know, Frank, I mean, have you ever, I look at the water temperature hitting under 70 degrees. That's what I look at. You know, that's right. That's my factor. That, I mean,
what's the water temp?
It's fluctuating. It's above 70 degrees. It's fluctuating around the 70 degree mark, but it's not consistently under the 70 degree mark.
Right, but it's around 70. This is some of the perfect fishing temperatures. 70 to 75 degrees is perfect. Let's say 70 to 80 is a great range. The more you get below 70, the worse it gets. The more you get above 80, the worse it gets. But we're in that Goldilocks zone right now. You know, the little girl, and she's skipping and jumping and happy because the fish is, this is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So Gaspereau Sound and the Tailing Flats, Devilfish Key, anything out there? What's going on?
Kind of the same thing that's going on with Bull Bay. There's redfish moving all throughout there, both bulls and a whole lot of undersized fish. And they're on the flats, around the oyster bars, and up underneath the bushes. Snook are starting to stack in there all over the place. Getting some mixed reports of some schools of pompano running along the little deeper edges closer towards the ICW.
Flounder.
A few oddball flounder. There's been a ton of pinfish scattered all over the place, so the guys that are throwing like the gulp or any of their soft plastics, they're kind of getting beat up with the by the pinfish and the puffer fish. It's been a little rough on their soft plastics, but that's one of the main reasons why all those fish are staging up there right now, just because of how fishy it really is. You know, it's been pretty good. And they are starting to move up into like Widden Creek and Catfish Creek, but still not way back in there. I would just concentrate on those perimeter edges rather than inside. You know, I don't know if you've heard of anything more than that or not.
That's right along the lines of what I was thinking.
Somewhere on the Placida Trestle.
Placida Trestle itself. There's sheep's head are starting to move in there just a tiny, tiny bit. Still way at the very beginning, but the mangrove snapper bite is starting to get a little bit more consistent. Some trout and some Spanish mackerel for the day fishermen. The night fishermen, though, have been really catching a lot of snook, but mostly on the small side. There's been the trout that have been being caught there at night have been some really good sized trout. I've heard of a couple 22, 24 inch fish, which is a little unusual because we always associate trout with daytime fishing, but that's so well lit because of the causeway that it's not unusual for guys to really start picking up some trout, just not in numbers. It's just usually a fun bycatch. I haven't heard much else of shark or tarpon or anything else like that, but it's definitely starting to become a little bit more steady with that daytime and nighttime fish.
Anything to add, Billy?
This is a time of year that you can also, if you focus on the deeper sections of that, you know, of that South Gasparilla, you know, the Boca Grande side of that pier, you know, it holds a lot of gag grouper. And it doesn't just hold small gag grouper, it holds keeper gag grouper. And, you know, I have seen so many nice, good-sized gags come out of that pier. You know, you just need to know what sections are deepest and have the most structure, you know, where those gags are happiest. But I would fish a live pinfish for them, a good-sized live pinfish, and they're everywhere out there. You could pick them up on a sabiki rig, and which is what I've always done, and, you know, and fish them on a bottom rig, you know, a 3 or 4 ounce sinker, something enough to hold the bottom, and just a rod that's beefy enough to get them out, you know. But I have a lot of confidence catching keeper gags out there in the fall towards the tail end of the season because the gags are moving inshore right now. You know, this is a time of year when they show up closer in.
All right. Let's just bounce north and hit Lemon Bay. What's going on in Lemon Bay?
Lemon Bay, just mostly what I've been hearing about is the east side, the mainland side. All those docks are loaded with some redfish, snook, mangrove snapper, a few oddball flounder. Pompano have been moving in and out through there. It's kind of a good mixed bag of stuff, but one dock is loaded with fish. The next two docks are ghost town. Next three docks are goat again. It's just been kind of a mixed gamut through there, but the actual main, like Miserable Mile and all that stuff, I'm not hearing much reports of trout or Spanish mackerel. And I think it's mostly due to the wind. You know, the guys are more concentrated along that main shoreline to stay out of it. Just been a little spotty, unfortunately.
All right. Let's take it down to Englewood Pier, or right there. You've got the Tom Adams Bridge, the pier right there by the bridge. Anything going on from the pier itself?
Black drum in the Eaton size range. I've heard a couple customers come in talking about black drum and sheep's head. So, you know, I mean, that's what I've heard.
Yeah.
And then
I've heard the same thing. Some smaller black drum and some little bit bigger sheep's head. Also, there's been a few whiting. Oddball flounder here and there.
Pompano.
The pompano have been moving in and out. Mangrove snapper is starting to pick up a little bit. The only thing I haven't heard about, honestly, this past week is nothing about really snook there. And I just, two of my regular guys that fish out there a lot, I just haven't bumped into them to give an accurate going on at night.
Now, do you think anybody's been dumb enough to go out in the Gulf?
A couple guys made it out on Friday and Saturday when it was laid down in the morning, and then regretted it a couple hours later when they had to come back in. Yeah. Some guys are getting some red grouper out there in 50 to 60 feet of water. They're getting a few kings out there in that same depth of water, but literally I've got three fishing reports, and none of those guys fished more than about 2.5-3 hours because it was just a little too bumpy for them. Got no reports of any Spanish mackerel, no reports of any mangroves, no triple tail. I mean, it's just been bumpy. You know, we could probably ask Mike Myers. He's goofy enough to go out there in this just to play.
Yeah. Okay.
He loves going out there to play when he doesn't have a charter.
But Mike fishes, he likes that closer to shore stuff. He catches a lot of fish, but he doesn't go out that far.
I know.
So he's still going to be very protected the land. I mean, he can move in. And if you stay within 3 to 5 miles, you're not going to get that beat up.
Right.
I mean, right next to shore, it's going to look like a mill pond. It's just every half mile out you get, the waves are going to come up 6 inches higher.
Absolutely.
And by the time you're out 10 miles, it's pretty darn snotty.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk passes. Boca Grande, Ponarasa, Redfish, Captiva, Little Gasparilla, Stump Pass, the Venice. Anybody heard anything on any of the passes?
Call Mike.
Any of the shore fishermen have been wrecking it.
That's okay. Where everything shows
Give
up.
Give me the name of a pass and tell me what's going on there.
Boca Grande and Captiva Pass, pretty much almost virtually identical right now. Pompano, big whiting. Some mangrove snapper, some big bull reds. The snook are still kind of moving through there because there's still a few. There's always a few lingering ones in the passes and along the beaches, but not in great numbers.
Tarpon on the hill.
Couple tarpon. Man, I haven't heard of much. They've been too sporadic. I'm sure they're there, and they should be because the water temperature is still fine. Been a few guys catching some Spanish mackerel as they're trolling in and out of there with a couple oddball bluefish. It's been pretty amazing. But the problem is that opposing wind and tides, because it's been that strong easterly wind. If you're out there in a boat, you got to kind of time it right, or else it gets real sporty real quick.
Tough to fish.
Yeah. It's been a little on the brutal side, but the shore guys have been really mixing it up with a lot of good varieties of fish. You know, the only thing that's kind of missing out of that whole mix is the sharks. You know, haven't heard much of them at all, but this is not really that time of year for them. But occasionally you start hearing those fluxes of bonnet heads and little black tips and stuff like that. But
there's bonnet heads. The bonnet heads are moving in. They're not on the passes though, so I'm right. Not going to move to another section of the harbor.
Anything going on in Stump Pass?
Stump Pass has been a lot of whiting. And an occasional Spanish mackerel and an occasional snook. But it's been really about the whiting there for the most part. You know, it's that pass is going to light up. I think it needs to come down just a couple degrees cooler before you start getting that better fish.
Venice, anything going on in Venice?
I haven't heard anything this week. That's the weird part about Venice is okay. Usually I got good reports.
Little Gasparilla Pass.
Pompano, lot of small fry, like I don't know if they're glass minnows or what they are, but the birds have been north side, south side, and then the guys have been cleaning house on some pompano as they come through in little groups.
Redfish, Captiva?
Haven't heard anything down there.
Okay, then let's talk about walking the beach. Now, Billy, what we mean by this is if you went out, say, on to the beach in Venice and were just casting a line out, or Boca Grande, or Englewood Beach, or Captiva, or Sanibel, or whatever. If you're walking along the beach and you were just fishing, have you heard of anybody catching fish somewhere along this Gulf Coast from land?
Yeah, I mean, Boca Grande, at Boca Grande, the concrete docks and all that structure on, you know, your west side of the island, that's one of the most popular places that I send customers to.
What are they catching?
You know, right now they're catching sheep's head, flounder, the same fish that we've been talking about. Sheep's head, flounder, pompano.
Whiting.
Whiting.
Occasional bull red.
Yep. And they're fishing with shrimp, live shrimp. You know, most of them are not throwing a cast net. They're just buying shrimp and going down to play on the beach, you know. A
couple of guys have been doing good, like up there towards the 17th Street through 10th Street area, throwing those pompano jigs, little banana jigs, and catching the pompano and oddball flounder, oddball whiting, kind of mixing it up there. Same way with up there at Middle Beach up there by Englewood. They've been doing about the same kind of fish and doing the same thing, just with those pompano jigs, just dragging them right along the surface.
What are they catching?
The whiting, a few flounder, a few pompano, and an occasional red and a couple peanut snook. I mean, kind of a mixed bag.
Chartreuse and white?
Pink has been the number one, and then the chartreuse and the white has been the number two. And the guys are coming in and literally buying four of the pinks and two of the chartreuse. Mm-hmm.
Pink's my choice color. I just know up there a lot of the guys usually.
Usually it seems like the Venice jetties, they like the chartreuse a little bit more than the pink, but as you work your way south, it seems like pink takes over and chartreuse becomes second. Yeah. It's kind of weird how that works.
That was my thoughts, too. I mean, that was a train of thought I was on.
Okay, a separate issue, because it is so far south. Ponarasa or somewhere along Sanibel Causeway, anybody heard anything?
Sanibel Causeway, there's been a lot of snook and tarpon there at night. During the daytime, haven't heard much. It's been kind of quiet down there as far as any good reports of anybody yet. The couple customers that have come into the new store down there in North Fort Myers have been fishing that, but they haven't been catching anything of any worth mentioning, I guess. That was just the snook and tarpon that I got out of them.
Okay.
You fish down there much lately?
I don't fish much down there at all.
All right, well, then let's move around the Matlash area. Now, this is south of Two Pines, down towards the Coosawhatchie River, that whole area around Matlash. Anything?
A lot of scattered redfish from what I've been hearing from a couple guys this past week. They're mixed sizes from, you know, 14 inches all the way up to 30 inches. No particular spot. They're fishing the grass flats and the mangroves. And then right there off of Matlash, I've been getting a few more reports of a couple more legal-sized snook, mostly shorts, though. The weird part is I haven't gotten any reports of mangrove snapper. I didn't hear of any of the juvenile tarpon that I normally do that come in, out of those canals there in the Cape Coral area. This week's been, I think because of the voting and all the other stuff going on, fishing's been weird with the reports.
Well, look at the moons, too.
I wonder what they're voting on.
I don't know.
Wait a minute. Oh, yeah, that thing.
Yeah, on, the one you can't get away from on TV.
Yeah.
Our moon cycle sucked this week. Okay. Let me first say that. I mean, I didn't, I'll admit, I didn't have a great week of fishing, and I fished all week, and to my the bar in my head, you know, I did not meet my personal
expectations.
You know, and I think Mother Nature was playing against us this week, is what I think, you know.
Yeah,
I could roll with that a little bit. It's just been a weird week for fishing reports.
I think it's funny because so many of all these, you know, cable news networks, you know, they've been doing all this election coverage. And let's face it, there has not been two or three days where something hasn't popped up. It's been, you know, the most up and down, but literally there's never been anything else ever like this with, by all accounts, the two most unpopular by people's standards, candidates, you know, and I understand people are for one person or the other person, but let's just, if you want a quick laugh, think of what all these people are going to get to talk about come Wednesday.
It's going to be crazy.
No, they're not going to be able to talk about anything. They're going to be going
by Thursday. They're going to be going, okay, well, you know, there was an election, but well, I guess a congressman said something somewhere, and no more WikiLeaks, no more this, no more that. You know, I mean, let's face it, these guys have been in heaven. I mean, it's like us when the Spanish mackerel move in really good, or right in the middle of tarpon season when everything's all going crazy, and we got so much to talk about. And then we get like in that last week of August, mm-hmm. we're like, okay, what are we going to talk about? You know, this week, all right, you know, I think there's some fish here, but the water temp's like 89 or 93 degrees, and mm-hmm. you know, what was weird this year?
Yeah,
the water temp got really hot. The fishing was still good, even though it should have been horrible, horrible, horrible. It still wasn't bad. It wasn't great or even good, but it wasn't bad. I don't understand. This has been the weirdest weather year. I mean, a small minimum hurricane, and my heart goes out to him so much. I mean, literally, I was almost in tears watching what happened up in the Carolinas. I mean, I know what it's like to lose every single thing you have. And the only thing, you know, you walk away with the clothes you have and your emergency suitcase. But, you know, seeing what, this is just horrific what's going on this year. And everything's weird. And usually you can find something out there. But
it is so weird.
It is so weird. But I just had this momentary thought because I was sitting here thinking how great it is to actually have fish to talk about. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We've really got fish. They're really doing this. They're really doing that. And, you know, I was watching the news this morning, you know, before I came to work, because I'm still not, I don't think I'm up physically for my normal 14-hour days or 12-hour days. I physically, yesterday, started falling apart. After about 9 hours, I literally just felt myself collapsing. Mm-hmm. And so I had to take some extra time this morning. I relaxed, ate a little bit, and trying to make sure. So I'm watching the news. There was, you know, not much else to do. And I was just sitting here thinking about how great it is for us. And these poor guys by Thursday are going to be going, okay, well, let's see.
This is our escape, man.
So anyway, we did Matt Lachey. Let's talk Pine Island Sound. Anywhere from Pine Island out through the Intercoastal, what's going on out there?
Been really good down there. I'm getting so many mixed reports. The guys are hiding around all the islands because it is still pretty windy. Redfish of assorted sizes, from undersized to way oversized. Snook, same thing. Not as many oversized snook, but a whole lot of fish in that 20 to 28 inch range. The trout are starting to cooperate a little bit better in some of those deeper cuts and some of those deeper potholes that are there. Pompano have been scattered throughout all there. The mullet are starting to run all over on all those flats there, so it's got a lot of activity going on down there in general, but you do have to move around quite a bit. And there again, still pinfish are dominant on as far as the primary bait.
You're right, Billy.
Bumped my head on the microphone.
It's a good thing that one's got that big wood straight out. That would have left a knot.
It's been really fishy down there, and because there's so many islands, you can get out of that wind. You just got to pick and choose and hunt where you want to be and deal with the wind while you run from spot to spot.
Can I put my 2 cents in on
that?
No,
you can't. Come on. You can put 5 cents in worth if you want.
All right. I'm always good for that. You know, when you ask for two, I give you five. You know, when one of my good captain buddies had mentioned this in a story recently, and it really clicked with me, and it's what I've been doing out there. And, you know, when normally you would, you're talking about hiding from the wind and sitting on the backside of an island. Mm-hmm. Well, normally, you know, in the summertime, you'd be fishing the bushes primarily, real close to the cover.
Right.
You know, and this is the time of year, especially in Pine Island, those fish are open water fish more than they are bush fish. If I was fishing Pine Island, a lot of the places in Pine Island that I love to fish, I actually will tuck myself up on the bushes, but I'm fishing out into open water.
Casting, you know, with the wind.
Casting with the wind, hiding from the wind, but using it to my advantage, you know, to get a distant cast. Mm-hmm. But rather than fishing towards the bushes and in the shrubs, I'm fishing out in open water. There's fish are in 2 to 4 foot of water in the troughs and the potholes that are out where my boat would have normally sat in the summertime.
Right. And I can see that because those fish are on the move a lot down there.
Yep.
You know, and I can see that being beneficial. Just some guys have a hard time grasping that.
They do. I did for years.
Another thing that works really good down there too, but it kills you, is fishing the windward side of the island, casting towards those points and bushes, because those fish will cross that windy water.
Yep.
To cut across, and casting with the wind towards the bushes, but having the wind to your back and just beating you up the whole time.
Yeah.
That can be super productive. Just most people don't want to do it.
Yep. You're so, right. That's how I fish. Always.
It's a lot of good information, though, because, I mean, people just don't stop and think about. And Pine Island Sound is such an unusual area because of all those deep potholes. You can go from 1 foot to 10 foot to 1 foot in the blink of an eye.
Yep.
That there is so much open areas where those fish are still feel safe. Because in Charlotte Harbor, they move out into that. They get chased by flipper and everything else. But down there, they've got shallow water to escape to a deeper spot if they need to get away from flipper. Mm-hmm. So they act a little bit differently down all there.
Right. Let's look at Boquilla Jug Creek Shoals.
I haven't heard a ton of activity down there, to be honest with you, except for right there at Jug Creek. A handful of guys have been getting into some small trout. Most of the guys have been running there to find their pinfish to use for bait as they're running over on the east side to catch their other stuff. It's just been mainly the pinfish. That's
anything going on, Billy?
It's so rough. I mean, you know, you got the wind blowing across the bay straight at Boquilla, you know, and straight at Jug Creek Bar. I mean, it's so pounded on over there this time of year, you know.
At least with all this funky wind we've been getting.
Well, that takes us over to Burnt Store. From Burnt Store up down to Two Pines. What's going on in that area? Two Pines, Burnt Store.
Now you're speaking my language.
Roll with it.
You know, I run a bigger bay boat, but snook, you know, I mean, mostly small
first
snook.
Where?
For Burnt Store. I mean, I fish south Burnt Store to Two Pine.
Okay.
You know, that's what I like to fish. And if the water is by chance high enough, then I will get behind the bar during the higher tide and fish the pocket. The deeper pockets for snook and redfish, you know, but primarily this time of year, it's outside the bar thing. You know, we're fishing low to negative tides, so your snook and your redfish and trout.
Now, are you casting over the bar to get to the other side or fishing the outside of the bar?
I'm actually sticking my boat on the bar. I mean, I'm trolling motoring as shallow as I can possibly get my boat. You know, you have most of the time northeasterly or easterly winds, so the wind is almost at your back, and you can kind of fish the bar parallel somewhat. You know, I mean, you're not fishing the bar as much as you are the pocket outside the bar.
So you are fishing outside of the bar, not trying to cast over the bar to get to the other side.
No, sir. Nope. And I'm finding that the fish are holding tighter to the bar in order to not be chased by dolphins or run over by the boats. You know, if they're behind the bar, they're getting run over by shallow sports. And
what do you think? Like, you're 20 feet out from the actual bar itself?
From the
2 feet of water, 4 feet, a foot?
From the 2 to 4 foot range would be the main depth. And there's more than one bar out there in several places where you right. have troughs, you know, 3 bars and 3 troughs. And the fish anywhere from 20 feet off the inside bar, anywhere from 20 feet out to 50, 60 feet out.
Gotcha. You know, you really got to play with it.
Yeah, but
The water's clear enough down there where you can actually see a lot of those troughs right now and those cuts, so you can actually distinguish the bar right. pretty well.
So yep. coming north there from Pirate Harbor up towards Alligator Creek, what's going on the east side?
Lots of nice trout.
Yeah, the trout are starting to pick up a little bit better as far as numbers and quality goes. You better drift, though, because they aren't schooled up in heavy schools where you can just sit there and wait and filter through a whole bunch of them. Like Billy was saying earlier, if you hit into a little group, try to stay on the outside edge to find the bigger fish, but they're just not the 30, 50 stacks of fish the way we're used to. That'll happen in a month or so from now. The redfish and snook scattered all around all the islands, out on some of those deeper sand holes, some bigger bull reds on the bar, or on the flat and on the outside of the bar. If you see mullet, I can't say it enough. You know, if you see any schools of mullet, you better have some baits casted into them, because bull reds and legal size reds have been following them really closely. And a couple guys have even hooked into a couple weird incidental snook into some of those mullet schools lately, mm-hmm. which to me is a little bit out of character. Probably happens a lot more than I think of, but I just don't hear it very often from guys when that happens.
Oh, I've seen it a zillion times. I think snook are just as likely as a redfish. I never thought it, but in the last handful of years, my perspective on that has really changed, you know?
Yeah.
Just because targeting mullet schools is such an effective thing to do, like you're saying, you know, and big snook are so much more scavenger-like, you know?
Exactly.
All right, that's going to take us up over close. What's going on in Alligator Creek itself, or that just little area right there?
I'm honestly hearing crickets for the most part. The mouth is the only thing I've heard of, has been some pompano and a few redfish and a couple small snook.
Billy?
Same thing, you know, and it gets an enormous amount of pressure, you know. I mean, the trout will be moving in there here soon.
There'll be a lot of fish moving in there. Just this past week, just been honestly pretty quiet compared to normal weeks. Last week had some better reports, but this week not a whole lot of activity for some reason. You know, it'll get better though. You know, I like fishing just right at that mouth to catch everything that's coming and going, but I actually prefer to stay outside of the mouth, basically between the shoreline and the first set of channel markers along that trough, and catch those fish as they're boogieing across the bar from the east side up to the skating rink.
Yeah. All right, now this is bringing us up into the PGI Canal system, but let's start with Ponce de Leon Park.
That's one of your more favorite little spots.
That's where I pick up every day. There's a lot of days where there's a couple spots up inside of the canal where I'll go and I'll you know, let some of the, you know, I'll save 100 pieces of bait and let them go and see if I see fish go, you know.
The mangrove snapper
right
there.
What about from the piers right there? You're seeing anybody catching fish?
Nice sheep's head. This week a guy was tearing the sheep's head up. I was pretty amazed because it was warm out, you know, and but sheep's head are winter fish, but he was, every time he dropped his line down, and he was using frozen shrimp, small frozen shrimp, and the fish he was catching were not big. They were barely legal, 12 to 14 inches, but he was catching them every time he was dropping his line down. I watched him for an hour. There was also another guy. I'm sorry, Robert.
Go for it.
That's all right. What?
There was also another guy. I'm friends with the park manager, if you will. And there was one guy fishing the pier.
Okay, now it is official, boys and girls. Billy does have a friend. Now, I know there's been reports, but, you know, we just heard it live on Radio Fishing. Billy does have a friend. So, back to the reports.
Yeah.
Fishing news alert.
Is it legal to put tilapia?
To pick on you that much?
No, I get it all the time. But this is just like one of the first times on live radio.
Don't worry, it'll get worse.
I know. There was a gentleman out there that caught 3 snook over 30 inches off of the dock, and he gave
tilapia for bait?
Using small tilapia for bait.
It's actually illegal.
That's what I was asking you.
Isn't it, Robert?
Yes.
Yeah, it is actually illegal to use tilapia for bait. I have no idea why. The state comes out and says, listen, we'd like you
to get rid of
these.
It's illegal to transport. If you catch them right there on that spot, you can use them for bait, but it is illegal to transport them.
I do not believe that's technically true. It is illegal to transport them from one freshwater body to another, but I do not believe there's a law against taking from freshwater to use in saltwater.
I'm not 100% sure on that.
Most species of fish have from one fresh body water to another body of fresh water. I do not believe there's a law that says you cannot take them from freshwater to saltwater. But I did hear many times during the last tilapia run that FWC, and we are going to be doing weekly shows with FWC to catch up. So when we run into questions like this, I'm going to write them all down, and each week we're going to do a thing with FWC. I've been talking to a lot of the officers, great guys, truly good ambassadors for us. You know, let's say it's like every other group of people. There are a few. You really, you know, but hey, everybody's got a few. For by and large, they're good guys. We're going to be answering questions. So I will call FWC and get them on Radio Fishing, and we will get a definitive answer for that. I'm thinking, from everything I've heard, technically illegal, but I could be wrong on that. So we're going to flip the coin on that and see which way it goes. The coin will be spinning until I talk to FWC. So anyway, go back. He caught him on tilapia.
Yeah, and, you know, this kind of struck home with me, you know, because I'm a conservative snook fisherman. You know, I have to kill them for a living. I don't have to. I could say no, but it's my job to kill them for people when it's their desire. You know, I don't kill them for myself.
Okay, look at it this way, Billy. Snook has a lifespan of 20, 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you were on the east coast of Florida, you could feel a lot worse about that because they catch, I believe, now I could be off a little bit on my numbers, so don't hold me exactly in the numbers, that they catch about 300,000 snook a year.
Mm-hmm.
And ideally, the state of Florida wants 40% to go through the slot limit. Yeah. Now, on the east coast of Florida, I think the best they've ever done is 36 or 38%, but that's only been a couple years. Most of the years, it's down much lower than that. Now, by contrast, the west coast of Florida, guess how many snook, take a wild guess, how many snook do we catch and release here?
Oh, gosh.
Just pick a number. Higher or lower?
Half a million. I don't know, a million.
A million snook a year are caught and released on the west coast of Florida, our coast.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I've already told you, most years they're much closer to the low 30%, ideally 40%. Mm-hmm. Their best they've ever done is 38%, as far as the numbers I know. Now, I could be wrong, that might have changed in the last year. They might have done a lot better. I think it was a year or 2 years ago I read the stats. But, and I was looking at the stats because of when they closed the snook and all that other stuff, trying to read as much as possible. Our coast has never been below 40%
mm-hmm.
since they've been keeping records. As far as I know, we've never been below 40%, and we are often in the low 50s. So not only do we catch and release a million snook a year, more than half of them make it through the slot limit. So what you're doing is, you know, you can feel bad or good about it, but our coast, the people here are really, by and large, and we have several jerks. We have several poachers. We have some horrible people.
That's what I'm going to get at,
and,
too.
And, you know, but it's a small percentage.
Yeah.
It's a small percentage. I have a half a 1% rule. If I don't care what do you put, as many people as you want in one area, half of 1% really are just not, they're iffy at best.
Yeah.
It's half of 1%. So that just goes for fishermen, it goes for bicyclists, it goes for drivers, just everybody. Whether cops, game wardens, you name it, half of 1% are just not the people that should be doing that, you know. So, I mean, I miss natural selection. So, anyway,
what, you know,
but it should make you feel a little bit better about your coast, the way we do stuff, and how we do it over here really is working.
Well, I like to hear that, Frank, you know, and...
Well, you seem so disheartened.
No.
Such a sad little fella there.
No, I had a discussion with the FWC officer. He was in with my kids' class that I teach at the other night. And I, you know, my question to him was, you know, this gentleman was by himself, and he caught 3 snook over 30 inches. And he just gave 2 of them away to 2 gentlemen that were on the pier as he caught them.
I think it should be illegal.
That's
but
what
it
I,
is not.
Yeah, that's what that was my conversation with this officer.
It is not illegal to do it. I think it should be.
Yeah.
But technically it's not. So while I would say that morally what he did was wrong, legal or ethically, but legally he did not do anything wrong.
That was the same thing the officer said. You know, it was.
I told you, I hang out with FWC a lot. I guess because birds of a feather, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, to move on a little bit, let's go up into the PGI canals themselves. What's going on into the canal system? What's going on there?
Little tarpon are making everybody crazy up in there. The water's gotten so clear that there's snook and tarpon on just about every snook light inside there. But even during the daytime, a lot of guys have been going in there trying to stay out of the wind. So they're catching a lot of little snook, trying to catch the tarpon with minimal success. A couple guys have actually kind of dialed it in, but they haven't been cooperating. They've been actually rolling and then diving straight to the bottom. So the guys are working their lures too fast. They need to slow way down and get their baits down a little bit deeper.
Okay. I've written this word 100 times. How do you spell people? I'm trying to type the report here.
P-E-O-P-L-E.
God, I did it 4 different ways, and it just wouldn't come out. I keep saying it in my head, and I couldn't make it work.
I know. I misspelled it yesterday.
Yeah. I'm like, are you kidding me? Vertigo sucks. All right. Okay. Where were you?
The little tarpon are just rolling everywhere, but they're rolling heavy, pop up on the surface and dive right to the bottom. So you got to slow your presentation down, go with a small paddle tail or a small storm swim bait, but let it sink all the way to the bottom and just do a nice slow jig.
Berkeley gulp shrimp, 3-inch.
The Berkeley gulp shrimp's been working good. The black drum are moving all over the place through there, and nice size fish like 30 to 50 pounders.
All right, anything else happening in the canals?
Jacks. A lot of jacks scattered, but it's one canal to another.
Snapper.
You're getting some snapper in there, too. I know they're starting to move in there. It's just that water's clearing up so well that there's fish starting to move in there in good, good numbers. It's not bad. Well, it's kind of nice because, I mean, so many people have been fishing it this week because of the weather that we've gotten a ton of reports and a lot of more visual reports than catching reports.
Going over to Gilcrest Pier,
there's been some jacks in the morning coming through there. That's the only thing I've heard of lately. It's been pretty quiet over there, unfortunately. And I don't know if it's that seawall changed or what it is, but it's been a little slower. Right.
Let's kind of take a different twist, going back out to the middle of the harbor, the Alligator Creek Reef.
The snapper is starting to pick up on it. A few more sheep's head and an oddball Spanish mackerel. It's just you got to pick and choose your days because of the wind. You know, if you're out there first thing in the morning, it's been pretty good.
It's covered in glass minnows and small, you know, real small bait. You know, so I was out there one day last week where there were Spanish mackerel everywhere, dude. I mean, everywhere. I had a half an hour to kill before a charter, and I randomly sat out there just to see what was going on. And just kind of ran adrift, threw out a rod out the back as I was rigging other rods, and I started getting bitten off left and right. So I don't know if it was a fluke thing, but there was glassman. It was all over the place. So
I've got to cut short. I'm going to let Billy finish up.
All right, what's up?
I'll be back.
Are you going to the doctor or something?
Kind of.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay. Sorry.
All right.
What we've got is the deep holes in the harbor here. We're almost done.
Yes, sir.
So what's going on in deep holes out in the harbor? Anything? I think, to me, the wind is just too difficult for people to fish out there.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we haven't heard too many reports on it. And, you know, I've been avoiding it myself due to the winds, you know.
All right. We're down to our last category here. And is there any place you could find bait right now? What I'm looking for is the name of a place and what bait might be there.
You know, the markers are holding a little bit of bait.
Now, are the markers in the upper harbor or down south?
There's multiple markers in the harbor that hold bait.
Just
in a general?
In the upper harbor or down lower harbor?
Both.
Okay.
Both. I mean, you know, and what's it's at that? Random. You know, I'm having a better time on an outgoing tide.
Now, is that pinfish, whitebait, threadfin? What is it?
Primarily a mixed bag. I'm getting a lot of greenbacks and mostly threadfin. Probably 75% threadfin to 25% sardine greenbacks. And actually, I'm getting a bunch of butterfish, little baby butterfish, which are a nuisance, you know. But marker one, marker two, Fisherman's Village.
Okay, now, is there any place, like, does the Baronese side have any bait?
Yes, you know, and it's so hit or miss, though. You know, I believe that it's moving around according to the tides. You know, if you catch a morning where the tide is up, it'll be behind the bar. But on the negative tides, it's in at least 3 to 4 foot of water is what I'm trying to say.
All right. What type of bait's there?
Sardines and primarily pinfish. A lot of pinfish. Everywhere. Big and small. The shallower you go, the smaller they get.
Okay. Anywhere else? Does Jug Creek, Devilfish, the beaches, any place got any bait?
Jug Creek's got bait. I know a bunch of guys that are bait.
What kind of bait?
The same, you know, mostly sardines and pinfish, white bait and pinfish. I know there's bait in front of Devilfish.
Okay, what is that Devilfish?
Pinfish and sardines.
All right, and go ahead.
Something else I'll add, you know, is every day, you know, I bring shrimp this time of year, but I also catch bait. And when I'm catching bait, I'm cast netting a lot of small to mid-sized shrimp. You know, so I know there's a lot of shrimp on our grass flats right now everywhere. This is everywhere that I've been. I've been pulling small shrimp, and they've been flipping all over the boat in the morning. So, you know, that's a sign of matching the hatch, and fishing a small to mid-size, you know, a shrimp in general on the flats is a great bet this time of year.
All right, here's one that's going to test you. Usually, Robert or anything. Anybody you know catching any freshwater fish?
Freshwater fish? I'm not friends with too many freshwater fishermen, Frank.
You know, it's you know, it's a different group. You know, they're in their own, you know,
their own
world. I don't have any real reports, having been out sick for almost 2 weeks. So hopefully I'll get together with Robert back on that.
You know, the next good cold front that we catch that will come around the new moon phase should start to produce some crappie. Am I correct?
Oh yeah. You know, I mean, I was wondering. I'll get together with Robert to update the printed portion of this. Mm-hmm. And I guess kind of just following up on this, we do our area fishing report based off of the place-by-place written report we do each week. And if you're wondering where these places are that we're talking about, if you go down there, Click the names of the spots. 98% of them have maps, pictures, and directions and where I've caught fish there. And at the top of them, you can click the Google Maps button, and it will take you right to the Google Maps thing and highlight. It zooms right into the spot that you're talking about. That way, if you want to move around and look more in-depth at the place, you can do that as well. But that way, when you're listening and you're saying, what is this, what is that, just go on the fishing report page, and we literally follow that on down. We are going to be adding, oh yes, all these spots, we are going to be adding many more, not much further north, but we're going to be going much further south. We're going to be putting the Coosawhatchie on. We're going to be doing a lot more from Matt Lachey, St. James City, down to Estero. We're going to be adding a lot of those southern spots, much more of the Cape Coral canals. We now have that store in North Fort Myers, so we're starting to get more reports from those areas in Cape Coral, down through Burnt Store Road, all those freshwater spots, the saltwater spots, the mixed spots. So this map will be expanding greatly. The fishing spots will be expanding and all that. But sitting across from me here today was Captain Billy Barton. And thank you, Billy. You did a great job in the report.
Thanks for having me, Frank.
And I'm going to, on the radio fishing portion of this, you'll be able to click his logo, and it will take you right to his webpage, and you can get his contact information. You want to just phone number?
Phone number is 941-979-6140. And I would like to add that my site is down right now, but it'll be back up this week because we are...
Okay, I will type your phone number right underneath this. And, you know, keep in mind, when you're on my website, you can click any link you want, anything. There is nothing on it that's going to take you anywhere except government weather information or water flow information. But outside of that, I have typed every single word. As you can tell, a lot of them are misspelled. I've done every period, exclamation point, put every picture there. It's all right from my little computer right here. No one else has put this up. It's all me. All the links are done by me. There are no twists or turns that you can get caught into. I sit here and I've built the entire site by doing this myself. I do not allow ads. I do not allow people to post banner ads, pop-ups. This site is not... Now, I'm building a website to make money with. It will be Web Store, Fish and Franks type thing. But this site remains just for you. It's for your entertainment, your fishing information. There's nothing about this that is about for money or, and I do not, I get offers every day. 3.5 million hits a month on my website. 3.5 million. And for a bait shop website, that's pretty good.
Yes, sir.
And I do not allow people to buy into it. It's not right. It's not fair. This is your website for your fun and information. So just to let you know, so there's nothing you have to worry about there. We're going to do any last thoughts, Billy, on the fishing right now?
Just shrimp, you know, slow it down a little bit. You know, try not to fish as fast. The fish, their metabolism are going to be slowing down in the next month, so they're not
going
to be
but
as
light. Right now, I wouldn't. Right now, I'd be going fast. I'd be going moderate. I'd be going slow. I'd be jigging. I'd be reeling straight.
Moderate.
I would let the dog, the big dog, bark right now because the water temp is still in that near perfect range.
Yep, and everything is here at once. You know, it's the one time of year you can say that, you know, all your winter fish are showing up and then your summertime fish are here and leaving. You know, so you got an influx of everything at once. You know,
now, Billy, you are a charter boat captain and you do take people out on fishing excursions and they can call you to book a charter?
Yes, sir. And I also run educational trips on their own boat.
So you can hire Billy to go out with Billy on his boat and catch fish. When you look on my Facebook page, I always share the stuff Billy posts up on his page on Facebook. You can find it easy on my stuff. But there is, you know, anyway, that's where all that lies.
Yes, sir.
And so you can hire Billy. Now, you can also hire you to go out in someone else's boat, which is at a lower rate because you don't have to pay for the boat and all that stuff. So you get a better rate. And you go with them. They drive. You point, okay, turn right, turn left, slow down, go right here.
Yeah.
And show them where to go and how to fish and what's going on out there.
Exactly. It's more of an educational than it is a fishing trip.
Gotcha. You know? All right. Anyway, okay, boys and girls, I am teaching Captain Andrew how to run the equipment, so we should not be off the air or have interruptions anymore. Andrew's doing pretty good about learning how to do this. He posted a fishing report the other day. He is learning how to do radio fishing. So far, it's always been just me. But because I'm a frail old man now, I've learned I need some backup. So I am teaching a couple of my guys to do this. So hopefully 4 to 5 shows a week. We want to do the area fishing report. We want to do inside the business. We want to do some stuff with FWC. And we're going to do a spot check, a weekly spot check, where we're going to break down some spots by specifics. So, all right, guys, we will talk to you later. Say goodbye, Billy.
Hey, you guys have fun out there. Tie lines. Catch them up.
And thank you guys so much for listening. This is Fish and Frank here. In the chair, Captain Billy across from me, and Robert ended up having to leave. Such goes, you know, such goes radio shows. But we have a new store in North Fort Myers. It's just south of Pine Island Road. It's really kind of easy to get there because if you know where this store is, we go out the door, turn right, stay on the same road, and get down there and turn right, right into it. We're in the England Marine Boat Dealership there. Just south Pine Island Road, right on Cleveland Avenue 41. We're about 2-3 miles north of the bridges over the Caloosahatchee. We're not down with all the, you know, bunches of businesses and stuff. We're just north of that. And we still do the monthly things at Luigi's with all the fishing seminars. And you can call 941-625-3888 and reserve your seats. Unfortunately, tonight and tomorrow night are fully booked. But there's always next month, boys and girls. We'll see you hopefully. What's it? Tuesday's today, so we're going to try and do another show Thursday. So we'll catch you on Thursday. Bye-bye, everybody.